J.C. Ryle's Devotional Thoughts on the Gospel of Luke. Section 66. The Parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." These words contain the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan. In order to understand the drift of this parable, we must carefully remember the occasion on which it was spoken. It was spoken in reply to the question of a certain lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Our Lord Jesus Christ answers that question by telling the story we've just read, and winds up the narrative by an appeal to the lawyer's conscience. Let these things not be forgotten. The object of the parable is to show the nature of true charity and brotherly love. To lose sight of this object and search for deep allegories in the parable is to trifle with Scripture and deprive our souls of most valuable lessons. We are taught first in this parable how rare and uncommon true brotherly love is. This is a lesson which stands out prominently on the face of the narrative before our eyes. Our Lord tells us of a traveler who fell among thieves and was left naked, wounded, and half dead on the road. He then tells us of a priest and a Levite who, one after the other, came traveling that way and saw the poor wounded man, but gave him no help. Both were men who, from their religious office and profession, ought to have been ready and willing to do good to one in distress. But both, in succession, were too selfish or too unfeeling to offer the slightest assistance. They doubtless reasoned with themselves that they knew nothing of the wounded traveller, that he had perhaps got into trouble by his own misconduct, and that they had no time to stop to help him, and that they had enough to do to mind their own business without troubling themselves with strangers. And the result was that one after the other, they both passed by on the other side. We have in this striking description an exact picture of what is continually going on in the world. Selfishness is the leading characteristic of the great majority of mankind. That cheap charity, which costs nothing more than a trifling contribution, is common enough. But that self-sacrificing kindness of heart, which cares not what trouble is entailed, so long as good can be done, is a grace which is rarely met with. There are still thousands in trouble who can find no friend or helper. There are still hundreds of priests and Levites who see them, but pass by on the other side. Let us beware of expecting much from the kindness of man. If we do, then we shall certainly be disappointed. The longer we live, the more clearly we shall see that few people care for others, except from self-serving motives, and that unselfish, pure, brotherly love is as scarce as diamonds and rubies. How thankful we ought to be that the Lord Jesus Christ is not like man. His kindness and love are unfailing. He never disappoints any of his friends. Happy are those who've learned to say, "My soul, wait only upon God. My expectation is from Him." Psalm 62, verse 5. We are taught, secondly, in this parable, who they are to whom we should show kindness, and whom we are to love as neighbors. We're told that the only person who helped the wounded traveler of whom we are reading was a certain Samaritan. This man was one of a nation who had no dealings with the Jews. John chapter 4, verse 9. He might have excused himself by saying that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was through the Jewish territory, and that cases of distress ought to be cared for by the Jews. But he does nothing of the sort. He sees a man stripped of his clothing and lying half dead. He asks no questions, but at once has compassion on him. He makes no difficulties or excuses, but at once gives aid. And our Lord says to us, "Go and do likewise." Now, if these words mean anything, a Christian ought to be ready to show kindness and brotherly love to everyone who is in need. Our kindness must not merely extend to our families and friends and relations. We must love all men and be kind to all whenever occasion requires. We must beware of an excessive strictness in scrutinizing the past lives of those who need our aid. Are they in real trouble? Are they in real distress? Do they really need help? Then, according to the teaching of this parable, we ought to be ready to assist them. We should regard the whole world as our parish and the whole race of mankind as our neighbors. We should seek to be the friend of everyone who is oppressed or neglected or afflicted or sick or in prison or poor or an orphan or a heathen or a slave or starving or dying. We should exhibit such worldwide friendship, no doubt wisely, discreetly, and with good sense, but of such friendship we never need be ashamed. The ungodly may sneer at it as foolish and fanaticism, but we need not mind that. To be friendly to all men in this way is to show something of the mind that was in Christ. We are taught, lastly, in this parable, after what manner and to what extent we are to show kindness and love to others. We're told that the Samaritan's compassion toward the wounded traveler was not confined to feelings and passive impressions. He took much trouble to give him help. He acted as well as felt. He spared no pains or expense in befriending him. The man was a stranger to him. Nevertheless, he went to him, bound up his wounds, set him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Nor was this all. On the next day he gave the host of the inn money, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend on him, I will repay you when I come back." And our Lord says to each of us, "Go and do likewise." The lesson of this part of the parable is plain and unmistakable. The kindness of a Christian towards others should not be in word and in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. His love should be a practical love, a love which entails on him self-sacrifice and self-denial, both in money and time and trouble. His charity should be seen not merely in his talking, but his acting, not merely in his profession, but in his practice. He should think it no misspent time to work as hard in doing good to those who need help as others work in trying to get money for themselves. He should not be ashamed to toil as much to make the misery of this world rather smaller as those toil who hunt or fish all day long. He should have a ready ear for every tale of sorrow and a ready hand to help everyone in affliction, so long as he has the power. The world may not understand such brotherly love. The returns of gratitude which such love meets with may be few and small. But to show such brotherly love is to walk in the steps of Christ and to reduce the parable of the Good Samaritan to practice. And now let us leave the parable with grave thoughts and deep searchings of heart. How few Christians seem to remember that such a parable was ever written. What an enormous amount of stinginess and selfishness and suspicion there is to be seen in the church, even among people who believe the gospel and go to the Lord's table. How seldom do we see a man who is really kind and feeling and generous and liberal and good-natured, except to himself and his family. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the parable of the Good Samaritan and meant it to be remembered. What are we ourselves? Let us not forget to put that question to our hearts. What are we doing, each in our own station, to prove that this mighty parable is one of the rules of our daily life? What are we doing for the heathen at home and abroad? What are we doing to help those who are troubled in mind, body, or estate? There are many such in this world. There are always some near our own door. What are we doing for them? Anything? Or nothing at all? May God help us to answer these questions. The world would be a happier world if there was more practical Christianity.